We will hear now in our next talk a bit more about what can disrupt our circadian system. And we will do so by inviting now Gala Jordakieva on the stage. She is a Facharzt für Arbeitsmedizin an der MedUni Wien. She is leading the outpatient clinic for occupational medicine, and I'm very excited to hear her report about her findings. Please, Gala.
Thank you for the very nice introduction and for putting occupational factors into the center of attention. This always makes us happy in my occupation. So my name is Gildia Dakieva. I'm a specialist in occupational medicine. I'm very happy to talk about very common and very work-related disruptors of the circadian system. And as any 9-to-5 job can keep you up at night, we all know that. Actually, I'm going to concentrate on those scheduled business disruptions caused by night work and jet lag in particular. Let's start with night work. What is night work exactly? Originally, night was used to describe the period between dusk and dawn where it was dark, but this would make all of us night workers in December, so they restricted the definition of night work to scheduled work between midnight and 6 a.m. For example, the European Working Conditions Survey limits it to these particular hours and defines any night worker as a staff who is working regularly for at least 3 hours during the night period. So what's not to love about that? As we already heard, our circadian system has made us perfect to be agile and active during the daytime and to be cozy and resting during the nighttime, which poses particular challenges to a night worker. First off, night work is more exhaustive because we're supposed to rest here based on hormonal secretion, changes in physiological functions, which were already mentioned and will be explained in more details later. And also, daytime sleep is less restorative. So night workers get this double effect of not being able to be active and agile perfectly during nighttime and not being able to rest properly during daytime. So as you can expect, one of the main problems with night work is that the sleep quality changes, but also that we have changes in lifestyle and behavior. So night work usually promotes unhealthy behaviors such as smoking and unhealthy eating habits, and discourages more healthy behaviors such as being active and agile during daytime when those workers are usually tired. You will hear more about the health-related effects based on circadian disruption that we see in these people. Let's just say that there is a list of health effects that have been associated with night work over the last decades, and those are through neurological, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal disturbances. Almost any organ system can have some kind of symptoms associated with night work. Some of them are really caused by the circadian disruption, and some are just triggered. So some concomitant diseases are really triggered due to this shift in day and nighttime. So the only cancer that has been really closely related to night work so far is breast cancer, but there are other suspected malignancies that might also be associated with night work. So as we already said, in the center of it all, there is a very complex biological, inner physiological change going on due to the circadian misalignment. But that's not all. In shift workers, we also have a disturbed social clock, and which is also misaligned from the reality, from the environment of the individual. And this leads not only to sleep disorders, but also to mood disturbances. And as we mentioned already, to unhealthy behavior, to changes in quality and timing of food intake, and also changes in glucose tolerance, which Eva already showed in one of her slides. And we think that this together helps to create a kind of change and disruptor a metabolic response. And all these mental and physical health effects can indeed result in chronic disease as well. So from an occupational health perspective, individual resilience and coping strategies are very important to keep night work as healthy as possible. And we know that job demands and the kind of work and the workload, the experience during nighttime work can indeed give you better or worse health outcomes in these workers. That's why working schedule design is really central here. It can really be impacted to give you better health outcomes in these workers. And what we have to keep in mind is that disease created or promoted by night shift work is not only some problem of the individual who experiences it, but it also impacts the working quality and the safety for all of the workplace. So the employer should also be interested in keeping the schedules as healthy as possible. So how can we optimize working schedules for these workers? I mean, any one of us can do a night shift and not drop dead or drop sick afterwards. But we do know that with several night shifts in succession, you have elevated fatigue, elevated emotional exhaustion, and you are more prone to experiencing job stress negatively. Also, the immune system is disrupted, so you're more vulnerable to toxic substances at the workplace, more vulnerable to inflammation, for example. And while this, again, sounds like the problem of an individual, these workers and all of us would be more prone to errors and accident, not just because of the circumstances at work, like reduced lighting or artificial lighting during the light time, but also really impacts productivity and accidents at the workplace. So this is the reason why an expert review of working time literature proposed to do a maximum of 3 night shifts in a row in succession. And they also put together other recommendations for the scheduling and the design of night work. You don't have to go through all this in detail, but just remember all of these recommendations target towards giving you bigger chunks of free time. First, and giving you free time when other people are also socially available, like the evening hours and the afternoons, which are helping the people to stay in touch with their social system. So it helps to not send people home between 2 night shifts just for sleep, but really like use the time they have to socialize and lead a normal life. The same goes for weekends. So the recommendations also target freeing weekends, which are also social times, as we all know. And another point, which is very central to the satisfaction and also to the health of the employees, is making the shifts and the shift design as employee-oriented as possible. So by giving the people, where possible, the potential to voluntarily participate in this work or to be more flexible, this really helps with the coping and with the keeping these people healthy and working. So that was just shortly of night work and shift design. We'll just shortly discuss the second big disruptor that is caused by work-related demands. All of us know jet lag, and to keep it short, it's a circadian rhythm alteration caused by rapid long-distance transmeridian travel. So going eastwards or westwards, but of course, as we all know, going eastwards is a bit trickier because going westwards just lengthens your day, and we all are used to getting to bed later if necessary, but it's really tricky to go to bed earlier and get up earlier as well. So that's why traveling eastwards is particularly tricky for the adaptation mechanism, and the more time zones you cross, the more prone you are or the more likely you are to experience jet lag. All of this resolves by itself, so if you had the time to leave it and adapt to your new local zone, it wouldn't be a problem that stays forever. But as we all know, we go somewhere, we have to be fit and active there, and then we go back as soon as we adapted to the new time zone. So the problem with jet lag is similar to the problem with night shift work, but due to its not so chronic component, we have more of a disruptance of mental health. especially in vulnerable individuals, so people with affective or psychotic disorders. It has been well studied in bipolar affective disorder. But you can imagine that for the first few days, you're like an alien organism in the new time zone, right? Because nature doesn't expect you to change your day rhythm that quickly. So you have to leave the time to adapt to this new time zone that you landed in too quickly for your natural rhythm to adapt. So there are some tips and tricks how you can shorten the effects of jet lag. So when you fly westwards, as we said, just accept your longer day, stay awake, and get to sleep with all the other organisms in your new night time zone. And after an eastward flight, it's a bit trickier, but to not mess up your melatonin system, your natural rhythm, too much, avoid bright light in the morning, and try to be outdoors and active as much as possible in the afternoon with all the other organisms in your new time zone. There is pharmacological adaptation support. For example, you can recommend melatonin to your patients, but be careful in people with epilepsy or in oral anticoagulation. There can be some complications, but else it's safe to use. And with hypnotics, there is good experiences, especially when traveling eastwards. If you take benzodiazepines in the first nights, for example, it may help with the sleep-related part of jet lag, but not with mood disturbances and other things. So to summarize, night shift work and jet lag are common occupational disruptors of the inner circadian rhythm and our social lives as well. And while jet lag more likely impacts our mental health and our sleep patterns, night shift work can indeed, over the years, cause physical and mental health hazards. And that's why shift work design is so crucial in these people to keep the night workers not only happy and healthy, but also productive and safe in your workplace. Thank you for your attention.